Yumadaf Vav. We are 8 lines from the top of the Amud. We are beginning at the 2 dots with the words Mafrishin Kohen Gadol. We go back to the Mishnah. And again, a continuation of the discussion regarding the sequestering of a Kohen Gadol 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. Mishnah introduces to the halacha that prior to Yom Kippur, Kohen is going to be sequestered for 7 days, sitting in the Lishkas Parhejim for those 7 days. And the Gemara has been, since the beginning of the Masechta, discussing this very halacha. 4 dapim so far, Beis Gimel Dalin. Hey, here in Yuma, discussing exactly why it is, or exactly what the source is for this halacha that we sequester a kohen for 7 days. And it comes down to a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says that it's learned from the Shiva Simei Meluim, and according to Reish Lakish, it's learned from the hachana that Moshe did in preparation to go up to Har Sinai in order to have a direct communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Notably, as the Gemara already pointed out, that was 6 days of Hachana, and we're talking about 7 days of Hachana, but the Chachamim added an extra day, as we already pointed out. So basically, it comes out to be a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and that is an extraordinarily succinct way to express the last 4 dapim of the Gemara. The Gemara now continues this discussion, Lama Mafrishin. The Gemara asks a simple question over here, and that is, why did we sequester the Kohen? The Gemara says, Lama Mafrishin. So the Gemara says, that's a funny question. You've been paying attention the last couple of days, since the beginning of the Masechta. Kid Ka'amrino, go with one of the explanations that we gave. Either we follow Rav Yochanan, we follow Reish Lakish. Meaning it's a funny question. We have been discussing and have concluded, well, at least according to each respective position, have concluded exactly why it is that the Kohen is going to be Mufresh, why we sequester the Kohen. So the Gemara is wondering exactly what the question is. It must be the question is making reference to something else. Hachi Kamar, so the Gemara goes for an immediate clarification. Here's what we meant. Mi Beisolam Apirish. Why are we separating from his house? What the Gemara is asking over here, not why do we take him out of his house, that sequestering means that we're going to take him out of his house, but meaning to say, why do we take him away from his wife? Meaning the Gemara suggestion over here is basically, yeah, let him be sequestered, but also let him be with his wife, let his wife join him in the hotel room, otherwise known as Lishkas Parhedrin, in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this part over here is going to be a little bit strange and a little bit difficult to explain. We'll start with Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Mi Beiso Lama Pirish. Mi Ishto Lama Pirish. So Rashi explains that the Gemara's question over here is, why separate him from his wife? Tavo Ishto Imo. His wife should come with him. Sham. Sha'rei Al-Karachach Lishkas Parhejan Lo Ha'isa Kedusha She'ein Yeshiva Ba'azara Ela Lamalchei Beis David Kol Shekein Shechiva. So Rashi over here notes the following. You have to say that Lishkas Parhejan is not Bekodesh, it's not in the Azara. It can't be. Because as we know, the halacha is that in the Azara, nobody's allowed to sit with exclusion to Machus Beis David. But short of anyone who is a Melech, so you can't sit in the Beis, you can't sit in the Azara, and that includes even the Kohen Gadol. With that stated, so we're going to have to conclude that Lishkas Parhejan does not exist in the Azara, probably is directly outside the Azara, right outside the Azara, but it's not in the Azara. And so what the Gemara is suggesting is that the Kohen Gadol's wife will join him, being that it's not in the Azara itself. That is Rashi's explanation. It is difficult, and Tosus makes this point over here, second Tosus on the Amud, where Tosus writes, Peres Rashi, Tavo Ishto Imo, Sham Sharei Al-Karcha, Klishkas Perjan, Lo Ha'isa Kedusha, Shein Yeshiva Bazar, Koshiken Shechiva, V'Kashilan. So Tosus, after quoting Rashi, so Tosus says, but it's difficult. Denihidalo Kedusha, Kedusha Zazara. Okay, fine, so let's say it does not have the Kedusha Zazara, but still, if it's directly outside the Azara, so you know what that means. Mikom Akom, Kehar Habayis Aisa. So that's Kedusha's Har Habayis. Damina Beperka Chatos, Dechol Har Habayis Machin Leviya. The entire area of the Har Habayis has the status of Machin Leviya. And we've already established, we saw this back in Pesachim, Tosus over here quotes the Gemara in Pesachim, that we know that a Baal Keri is not allowed to be in the Har HaBayis area. The Gemara says, Beferish in Pesachim, that a Zav and anyone who is categorically under the category of Zav, which would include a Baal Keri, is not allowed to be in the Har HaBayis. So if we're suggesting over here that the Kohen Gadol is going to bring his wife in, and even if we're going to say that the Lishkas Parhedrin is not in the Azar, but rather it's in the Har HaBayis, but it's still represents an Isser. In other words, if he's going to be with his wife, he's going to be a Baal Keri, and he can't be in the area of the Har HaBayis. So all this makes this very difficult to understand. Ela Yesh Lefar. So Tosfos says, so I'm going to go about this in a somewhat different suggestion, meaning what the Gemara is suggesting over here is Lefarish mi beso la mepirish havan la meimar sheprishuhu lemechila achas bar habayis darmina beperkets etzolin de mechilos lonis kadoshim. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that not that he goes to Lishkas Parhedrin. Lishkas Parhedrin is either going to be in the Azara or it's going to be in Har HaBayis, and it can't be there with his wife, but rather what it means is that some sort of underground tunnel that exists underneath where the Kohen Gadol is going to be sequestered together with his wife, considering that the fact that it's subterranean. So it's not invested with the Kedusha, neither the Azara or the Harabais. Tosa says that's what the Gemara is suggesting over here. If you recall the beginning of the Masechta, so Tosa is over there, is clearly of the opinion that Lishkas Barhedrin is Bekarish, it's in the Azara. At least according to one answer in Tosos. Going all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, if you take a look at Beis Amud Aleph, the second to last Tosos over there, Tosos asked the question, why don't we just simply have the Kohen who is Mufrash for Yom Kippur and the Kohen who is Mufrash for the Parah Aduma, why don't they have this sequestered to the same location? Not at the same time, it just simply means that why don't we just have one designated Makom Hafrasha? And Inami, so if you recall, we did this Tosfos back on Beis Amud Aleph, but let's review. Inami Yeshlam Yeshem de Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippur and Pishaso l'Kedusha. So as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, so he's going to be Mufresh l'Kedusha, meaning he's going to be in an area that has significant sanctity. Why? Shekol Avodos Lefnim v'Lefnav Lefnim Hayu Mafrishin Osam L'Lishkas Parhedrin Shebenuya B'Kodesh. So, because since the avoda that he's going to experience, the preparation that he's doing is for the avoda that he's going to be doing ba kodesh, meaning both in the heichal and the kodesh kadashim. So, therefore, the area of hafresh that he's going to go to is an area that's going to be ba kodesh. Now, presumably, as I said back on base, and I'm going to say the same thing right now again, presumably, Tosfos over here is making reference to the azara. I'm sure I asked this question. I'm back on Daf Beis. We could play the tape again, although I don't have it readily available right now. But I'm sure I asked the question then. I'm going to ask the question again. If Tosus is right, it's a little bit difficult to understand. So how is the Kohen Gadol going to be sitting for 7 days? And certainly, how is he going to be lying down? You're not allowed to sit in the Azara. Okay. So I didn't have an answer then. I don't have an answer now. But Tosus over there, back on base, says that the Lishkas Parhedrin is Pakodesh. Aval para shenasis michutz bahar hamishcha prishaso lelishka shal pnei habira shechutz la'azara. But when it comes to the Kohen who's sequestering for the Paraduma, we know it's chutz, it's done outside the base of Mikdash. The whole idea of Paraduma is that it's not avoda, even though the Torah calls it a chatas, but that's only for comparative purposes. But it's not an avoda, and it's not shchitas kachim, it's shchitas chulin, that's done outside the Azara. And so since the avoda, we're going to put that in quotes, the avoda of the Paraduma is going to be done outside, so as a result of that, consequently, the prisha that the Kohen's going to do is also going to be somewhere outside. It's going to be outside of the Azara. Okay, so it certainly sounds like from Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that the Hafrasha of the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur is going to be Bakodesh, meaning it's going to be in the Azara. Okay, which again sounds a little bit more, well, doesn't sound like Rashi nor like Tosfos. Either way, let's go back to our Gemara. Let's reintroduce our Gemara's question over here. So the Gemara now wants to know, so why don't we have his wife join him for his 7 days of Prisha? Again, according to Rashi, that would mean in Harbais, and according to Tosos, it would be talking about Mechilas that are underneath. Either way, that's the Gemara's question. So Tanya, Rav Yehuda ben Beserah Omer, we're back to the Gemara, so the Gemara is now answering. So Shema Timsa Ishto Safek Nida V'Yavo Alaham. So it could very well be that his wife is going to be a Safek Nida during those 7 days where he's sequestered and his wife is with him, and he's going to have relations with his wife was a suffix nida, to which the Gemara is shocked by that answer. I don't understand. Kohanim over here, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. He's not a Rasha. If his wife is a suffix nida, he's not going to have relations with her. So Ela Shemayava Alishta Vitimsa suffix nida. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's not what we meant. What we meant was that he'll have relations with his wife. And then subsequently to having relations with his wife, it turns out that she's a nida. And now what we are unsure about is as to whether or not he was bola nida, meaning at the time when he had relations with her, she wasn't a nida. But shortly thereafter, they were intimate with one another. So now she started being poris nida. And the question now becomes, do we retroactively say that she was a nida at the time of the bia? So this is why it is that his wife is not brought with him into the 7 days of Hafrasha. For this very concern. So Amru Rabbanu, so the Gemara continues, and the Gemara follows up on this answer. Amru Rabbanu, Kamed Rav Chista, Kaman Karebi Akiva, Dharma Nida Metames Ba'olah. So presumably, if we're going to subscribe to this kind of approach, so we have to be going like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, who says that the Tumas Me'es Le'es, the 24-hour retroactive Tumah that we give to a woman who is Paris Nida, is not only going to be retroactive in that it's going to be metame kelim, but it's going to be metame even her husband as well. The e rabbanim, because if we subscribe to the chachamim ha'amrinan, ein need the metame esbo ala. He's of the position that a nida retroactive, 24 hours retroactive to her being pros nida, is not going to be metame her husband. Let me give just a little bit of background over here so that we understand this point a little bit better. The Gemara in Nida goes over the following. You remember the first Mishnah over there, Machlokes Shammai and Hillel, as to whether or not we go back retroactively for a woman who is Paris Nida, and it's a Machlokes between Shammai and Hillel. Meanwhile, the Halacha follows like neither. Meaning the Halacha is that we assume that when a woman sees the blood coming out of her, we assume that she's in Yidah from that point going forward, and we don't take her back retroactively, mina Torah. But the Chachamim imposed a Chumra Derabanan, which is that Me'es Leis for the 24 hours prior to her, her cycle begin, so for the 24 hours in the past, so the Chachamim are going to metame any kli that she touches, any food that she touches. This is what's called Tumah Me'es Leis. It's a Chumra Derabanan, meaning to say that Me'ikar Hadin, the chazaka is that she is anida only from this point going forward, prospectively. And meanwhile, the chachamim backed it up for 24 hours. That's the Gemara Nida. In this 24 hours in which the chachamim backed it up, did they back it up for Kalim, or did they back it up also for her husband as well? Meaning if her husband was with her within the last 24 hours, is he going to be considered a bol nida, at least on a Durabanan level? So that's a machlokus in between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Kiva says that the husband will be a bol nida for the Tumah Me'es Leis, and the Chachamim say no. So now, in the Gemara's approach that it's giving right now, as to the question of why don't we bring the Kohen Gadol's wife with him into the 7 days of sequestering, and the Gemara says for this concern that he'll be bol nida. And again, we're not assuming that she was Anida and he had relations with her. It means that he had relations with her, and then afterwards she was bol nida, and now going back retroactively, so he'll be considered bol nida. And now what the Gemara is pointing out is that this makes a lot of sense if I subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. But if I subscribe to the sheet of the Chachamim, so then this answer does not seem to be making sense. So Amaluhu Rav Chista filo temer rabbanan. So the Gemara says no. Rav Chista will say no. This could be going like the Chachamim, because ad kan lo pligi rabbanan lehad Rabbi Akiva ela ba'acher acher. Yes, there's a debate between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, but that's only at a time that is well after they had relations. Avabachad achar, but if it's just shortly thereafter, so modele, so then the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, as far as this point is concerned, so again, the Gemara Nida is much more detailed about what exactly is going on over here, but if I could just give a brief synopsis, and everything I'm saying is basically being summarized by Rashi right over here, I'm just going to say it outside, not inside. And that is the idea that when describing a woman who checked herself after she had relations with her husband, so there are three different time intervals. There's what's called, number one, osyom. Osyom means immediately after. Immediately means as immediate as one can imagine. The Gemara is very graphic in terms of what it means by that. Meaning as the man is exiting the woman, so then she immediately wipes herself at that moment in time. That's what's called osyom. If she discovers that there is dam on the cloth at that point in time, so then everyone's of the opinion that the man was bol anida. In other words, we do not assume that that she just started her cycle immediately after he exited, but we assume that there was concurrence, and it just happens to be that it was discovered after he exited. That is what is called osyom man. The woman's anida and the husband's considered a bol nida. That's the first interval. Second interval is what's called acher. Acher means after that moment in time and just a little bit longer. So the Gemara does not give that interval in terms of seconds. The Gemara rarely gives any intervals in terms of minutes or seconds. But the interval is described as the amount of time that it takes her to get down from the bed and to wipe her area. So just for the purposes of illustrating the point, I'm going to make up a number, not because this number is correct, just simply because it makes it easier to discuss. So let's say we're talking about 5 seconds. Okay, again, it's a made-up number. So anywhere between osyom immediately thereafter and 5 seconds, so we're going to call that acher. And so that means to say now that if she were to wipe herself within that period of time, so now both the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva agree that not only is any kelim that she touched in those 5 seconds going to be tamei, but even her husband is going to be considered a bol nida. That is what's considered acher. And then there's what's called acher acher, meaning after 5 seconds, if let's say she does a bedika then, so now we're going to go into the general category of what's called me'es leis. Now we're just basically putting it under the category of the last 24 hours. And so anything after this, any examination done after that period of time is what's called acher acher. That's the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, she'll be metame retroactively, not only Kalim, but her husband as well. And the Chachamim say no, she'll only be metame Kalim, but not her husband. Good. So what the Gemara is now fielding is that, look, even if I subscribe to the Shita of the Chachamim, so still there's going to be that second interval of Acher, which in which the husband's going to be a bol nida. So you don't have to limit this concern just to Rabbi Akiva. It even works according to the Chachamim, as long as we're talking about that middle interval of Acher. Okay, back to the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Zeresh Mamina Bol Nida Inu Kenida V'Tova Bayom. Ah, so we're going to be discussing now for a little bit in the Gemara this idea of Bol Nida. Bol Nida is a tuma min haTorah. If a husband has relations with a woman who's a Nida, so aside from the fact that he violated the Isser, to have relations with a Nida is an Isser Kares, so aside from that, he's also going to contract a tuma as well. This is what's called Bol Nida. Okay, an easy way to look at it would just simply be to say that her nida tuma basically is going to be contracted by him. That's the easy way to say it, but it's probably not the correct way to say it. It just happens to be that there's a category of tuma called bol nida. And the way that the man becomes a bol nida is by having relations with a nida. But it may not necessarily be by virtue of the fact that he violated the isser of nida. Okay, if you understood that, great. Otherwise, I went over that point way too quickly, but the point is that we're going to be discussing now the tuma of bol nida. Now, what we know for sure from the Torah is that a man who is a bol nida is going to be tummy for 7 days, right? Similar to that of a woman who's a nida, who's going to be tummy for 7 days, min ha-Torah. So the Gemara says that, look, what we can conclude from here is that the comparison between a nida, bol nida is not a perfect comparison. So Shmamina, that's Reb Zera's point. Shmamina, bol nida, inu kenida, v'tova biyom. Meaning a bol nida can tova on the seventh day. Now that is in contradistinction to the nida herself. The nida, and again, I'm going to stress, min ha-Torah. The nida min ha-Torah is going to be a nida for 7 days, meaning from the time that she starts menstruating for the next 7 days, she's going to be a nida. And then she'll tova on the mikvah when? Not on the seventh day, but rather the night after the seventh day. Min ha-Torah, she cannot tova until nightfall. As opposed to the bol nida, who can tova on the seventh day itself. Now the Gemara says, now here's how we're going to make the case that, but the bol nida can tova on the seventh day. Diyamar bol nida kenida, emas tava b'leila, solamach echir avir avoda, v'abai herav shemesh. So the Gemara's argument is like this. Let's say that the bol nida cannot tova until the nighttime, like a nida. Well then, if our Kohen Gadol was a bol nida, so consider. So that means to say that if, let's say, he was a bol nida going into a 7 days of sequestering, so that means that for the 7 days of sequestering, he's a bol nida. In other words, he's coming for those 7 days. So now, when is he going to tova in the mikvah? If the argument you're going to make is that he cannot be tova in the mikvah until the night of Yom Kippur, well, that obviously is going to present a problem. What is the problem? The problem is that in order for him to do the avodah, he has to be tahor. Now, as a bol nida, how do you successfully conclude your tumah bol nida? So two things need to happen. One, you tovel in the mikvah, and two, you need Harav Shemesh, you need the sun to set. If he's toveling in the mikvah the night after, so that means it's basically Lo Yom Kippur, he's toveling in the mikvah. But the Harav Shemesh is not going to experience until Motzei Yom Kippur, until sunset of Yom Kippur. So and that's well after the avoda needs to be done, meaning he simply will not be in a state of tahara to do the avoda. So therefore, el alav shmamina bol nida inu kenida. So the bol nida is not like a nida, meaning that the bol nida can actually tova on the seventh day. Now all this makes a lot more sense, meaning now our Kohen Gadol, who may in fact be a bol nida for those 7 days, but on the seventh day he'll tova in the mikvah, that night, meaning as you're entering Yom Kippur, he's going to experience Erev Shemesh, and then it'll be tar to do the avoda. The Gemara says, it sounds like a very good raya. So Rav Shimi minarda amar afilu tema bol nida kenida. So the Gemara says, no, we could argue, we're going to try to argue at least, that the bol nida and nida are synonymous or equivalent in terms of when they're going to be toveling in the mikvah, notably the night after the seventh day. Now, dima frashin alesha acha samach lishkiyas achama. And what the Gemara is going to argue now is the following, is that this Kohen Gadol is going to be parish from his wife when? Not really on day one, but a couple hours before day one. meaning just for the purposes of illustration. Let's say Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos. So now the 7 days of sequestering are going to be starting on Shabbos to Friday, right? Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So that's 7 days. And then Yom Kippur is going to be, Yom Kippur, obviously now, he will be prepared to do the Avodah. Now, what the Gemara is arguing is as follows. Really, when's the Hafrasha going to start? So again, if Yom Kippur falls out on the Shabbos, so then the Hafrasha is already going to start off on the Shabbos before, right? But really, what the Gemara is now arguing is that the Hafrasha is going to start maybe just a couple hours on Friday. Meaning, so that Friday can count day one in terms of him being a Bol Nidah. Now, it's going to work out because he will then be counting from Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday night he'll be Tovel in the Mikvah. Again, we're right now trying to argue that Bol Nidah and Nidah are equivalent. So his opportunity to Tovel will only be the night after the seventh day. So Thursday night he'll Tovel in the Mikvah, and then Friday afternoon he'll experience Harav Shemesh when the sun sets, and now he'll be able to do the Avodah of Yom Kippur that comes out that year on a Shabbos. That's what the Gemara is going to argue. Now, it is a difficult argument because it comes out now that there are not really 7 days of Hafrasha, but then there would be 8 days of Hafrasha. But what you're going to have to say is that just because he was Mufrash a couple of hours before day one, we're not going to call that a whole nother day. Even though vis-a-vis his Tumah of being Bol Nidah, we are going to call that another day. Okay, I realize that's a little bit confusing, but that's what the Gemara is trying to argue right now. Meisvei. So what the Gemara is going to end up doing, we're going to go through a couple of braces together. It'll take a couple of braces, but the Gemara is going to note, after all said and done, that they're not perfectly equivalent. The Nidah can only Tovel after the seventh day, meaning the night after the seventh day. And by the Bol Nidah can Tovel on the seventh day. That's going to be the Gemara's conclusion, and it's going to be evident from a couple of braises. So, Meisvei. So here's the first braisa. Kol Chai V'Tfilas V'Tfilas V'Yom. So when it comes to all the obligations of a person needing to Tovel, he'll Tovel during the daytime. Nidah V'Yoledes V'Tfilas V'Laila. But the Nidah and the Yoledes are the notable exceptions where they're going to be Toveling at night. So, obviously, over here, so Nidah in Bol Nidah Lo. It's very clear over here that the exceptions are limited, and it's also very clear what those exceptions are. They are Nidah and they are Yoledes, but it's not a Bol Nidah. And it would certainly seem like from this price that the Bol Nidah does not have to wait till the night after the seventh day. The Bol Nidah could Tovel on the seventh day. The Gemara deflects, and the Gemara says, no, Nidah v'chol da'ase mi ribu ye. So the Gemara says, no, Nidah could be talking about over here, Nidah and anything under the category of Nidah, meaning what the Gemara is going to try to argue over here, it's a very conceptual argument, is that Bol Nidah really falls under the category of Nidah. And again, it goes to that you know, how to look at the relationship between Nida and Bol Nida. So the Gemara says that's what the Braisa could mean, and it could, and again, we're going to try to argue right now that there is an equivalency between Nida and Bol Nida. They cannot Tovel until the night after the seventh day. So Meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge with another Braisa, and that is Balkari Kamagasheretz. So there's an equivalency between a Balkari and a Magasheretz, and Bol Nida Kitami Meis, and there's also equivalency between a Bol Nida and a Tami Meis. So my love the Tfila, so the Gemara says now presumably talks about when you Tovel. And that means to say that when it comes to a Balkari and when it comes to a Magasheretz, they Tovel the day of, meaning their Tumah is only for 1 day, so they get to Tovel the day of. When it comes to Bol Nida, when it comes to a Tami Meis, so we know that both of them are Tami for 7 days. We also know that a Tamei Meis, after he goes through the process of the sprinkling of the Parah Aduma on day 3 and day 7, he Tovels on day 7. He does not have to wait until the night after day 7. And so presumably the same thing is true regarding the Bol Nidah. He could Tovel on day 7. So this Braisa, assuming that we're saying a good pshat in the Braisa, this Braisa sounds very much like what we're arguing, is that the Bol Nidah is allowed to Tovel on day 7. Lo. So the Gemara, once again, rejects. The Gemara says, Litu Masam. So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about the duration of the Tumah. The Gemara says, really? Tamasim Behajik Sibahu. I don't need a Mishnah. I don't need a Braisa to tell me how long they're going to be Tamei for. Hai Tumah Shivak Sivbe, Vahai Tumah Shivak Sivbe. Well, it's pretty clear. Meaning, the Torah tells us that a Tamei Mace is Tamei for 7 days. The Torah tells us that a Bol Nidah is Tamei for 7 days. So it is a... It is not necessary for a Braisa, for Torah Shabbat Peh, to tell me that they are going to be telling me for both 7 days when I took him telling me so. So, Ela Lav L'Tfilas San. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to go back to our previous suggestion, and that is we're going to go back to, when they could Tovel. And if we're going to go back to when they can Tovel, so once again, this is going to be, it seemed to be a very solid proof, a very strong proof that the Bol Nidah can Tovel on day 7, unlike the Nida who has to wait till the night after day 7. Lo. So the Gemara again tries to push back on this. Lo, la olam lo tumasam. So really it's going back to the tumah. Sefer it's rechle. Now vis-a-vis the duration of tumah. So as we already pointed out, I don't need Torah Shabbat Peh to tell me about the duration of tumah. It's already stated clearly in the Psukim. But what it is coming to tell me is the end of the Brisa. Meaning what we did is we stopped in the middle of the Brisa. We didn't read to the end of the Brisa. And now that we're going to get to see the end of the Brisa, we're going to see that it's really the end of the Brisa that's critical over here. El alav shechame mimena bol nida. Shematame mishkav amoshav betomakalo letame ochlin u mashkin. So the end of the Brisa is coming to tell me a chiddush, even though vis-a-vis the duration of the tumah, they're both the same. That a tumah meis is tumah for 7 days and a bol nida is tumah for 7 days, but still there's going to be a chumrah that you have by bol nida that you do not have by tumah meis, which obviously runs counterintuitive. Meaning you would think that of the degrees of tumah, tumah meis is more chumrah than that of bol nida, but in vis-a-vis this aspect, bol nida is more chumrah. Notably, what? The idea of Tumas Mishkav Moshav, that when a bol nida sits on an item that is meant for sitting, so that item now is going to be an avatumah to the point where it's going to be metame other things. Now, as a technicality, I mean, the Gemara makes this point very clear. As a technicality, the item that becomes tame now is only going to be able to be metame ochel umashkin, as opposed to being metame adam vikalim. Now, generally speaking, when you're talking about Mishkav, Tumas Mishkav, and Tumas Moshkav by a Zav and Zava, and a Nida and a Yoledes, so it's metame not only the kli that it would be metame ochlin mashkin, it would also be metame kelim as well, as opposed to bol nida, where when it sits on something, it's only going to be metame ochlin mashkin, not adam vekelim. I went over that point a little quickly. If you don't fully understand, it's an important detail, but it's okay. We could go on. The point of all this is that we've deflected, and we said that the Brisa may not be there to point out that Tumas Meis and Bol Nida are both equivalent vis-a-vis when you tov on the mikvah. It could be that the whole purpose of the Brisa is only l'seifa. It's only for that last part of the Brisa, noting a stringency that you have by Bol Nida that of Tumas Meis. When all is said and done, so we do not have yet a Brisa that clearly makes the point, but now we do. Tashma the Gemara now is going to be quoting another Brisa. Didni Rabbi Chiya Hazav veHazav veHamitzar veHamitzaras uBoel Nida veTamei Meis Tfilasam Bayom. So here the Brisa lists together a whole bunch of people that are Tamei, and of which, of course, is a Boel Nida, and it says Bifferish in the Brisa that they tovel during the day. Nida veYolas Tfilasam Balayla, and a Nida neYolas tovel at night. So from this Brisa, there really is no way to maneuver or wiggle out of the Brisa to Yufta. So the Gemara says, fine. So this position that a Bol Nida has to wait to the night prior, to the night after the seventh day, is not supported by this Brisa. In fact, just the opposite. It's refuted by the Brisa. And so when all is said and done, we come out now that the Bol Nida is toveling on the seventh day, which, again, going all the way back to the beginning now, actually makes a lot of sense. Meaning that the whole concern now is that if we bring his wife in with him, he's going to be a bol nida, and thereby have the tumas bol nida and require the requisite waiting of 7 days, but that would be fine. Because on day 7, which is the seventh day, he'll ketova in the mikvah, and then he will experience Erev Shemesh as Yom Kippur begins, and tomorrow he'll be then obviously in a state to be prepared to do the avoda. The Acha Atama Frishos, we are now on Vav Amud Beis, about 6 lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara now is going to turn its attention to another question. So now we have nixed the idea of him bringing his wife into the sequestered room. So the Gemara now wants to know, the Acha Atama Frishos Mitumas Beis, or Frishos Mitumas Hameis. Why don't we forbid all visitation? Why don't we just simply suggest that nobody's allowed to visit him? Because what could happen is that when somebody comes along and visits him, so they could drop down on him. Again, it's a chshash rachok. It's really a distant concern that someone's going to just drop dead on him. And if you remember, we discussed this also in the beginning of the Masechta. You go all the way back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So Tosfos over there says that, you know, generally speaking, we're not worried about people dying. And Tosfos says, he writes in that the right second Tosfos we get to Chazer for this daf. So Tosfos writes, "Mikol Makom." This is now the second Tosfos. It's about 8-9 lines down in the Tosfos Mikamakom Lemisa Lizman Muat Ki Hacha Lo Havana Lemechash Elamishem Mala De Kapara Chayish Lizman Muat Imke Nechash Afilo Tarti V'Tlach. So Tosfos says that if it's Zman Muat, if we're talking about a small window of time, we're not really worried that people are going to die. So over here we're talking about within a window of 7 days. So you're really worried that someone's going to walk in and just die within those 7 days. So it's a Chashash Rachot. But the Gemara now wants to know, so why aren't we concerned with it? I kind of it's hard to understand the question based on what we just went over, but still. So that's the Gemara's question. So Amrav Tachlif Avu de Ravuna Mishmei de Rav Zosamers Tomas Amesotra He Betzibor. So the Gemara now would like to suggest that what we can conclude from here is that Tuma is Hutra Betzibor. So this brings us now to a really large topic, which we'll get to discuss in much greater detail in tomorrow's daf, and that is the idea as follows: that we know that there are times in which we receive a dispensation where we're allowed to do the avoda in a state of tuma. The main source of this is by the Karban Pesach. In fact, in Pesachim, we discuss this in detail. We nearly spent an entire perek in Pesachim discussing this idea, that when the majority of the Jewish people are in a state of tuma, so then you could do the avoda in a state of tuma. Now that's specifically talking about tumas meis, meaning for other types of tuma, so that's not going to override Karban Pesach. It's only going to be by Tumas Meis. Again, the sources of this we're going to be covering in tomorrow's daf. And as we saw back in Pesachim, and we're going to get to review right now, there is a very basic chakira within this question of this dispensation regarding Tumah and doing the avoda in a state of Tumah. The two options are either Tumah is Hutra B'tzibor or Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibor. This chakira of Hutra Dechuya, you've probably heard it numerous times. It is a really popular chakira as far as the Gemara is concerned. The Gemara really presents this chakira here in the context of doing the avoda in a state of Tumah. And now, the two sides of the chakira basically are as follows. If you say the Tumah is Hutra B'tzibor, which the Gemara is arguing right now, it means that the Torah's allowance to do the avoda while in a state of Tumah is a 100% allowance. The Torah basically gives carte blanche that even though, despite the fact that the Kohen Gadol is in a state of Tumas Meis, he can do the Avoda and there's no concern. You don't have to regard that he's Tame at all. If, on the other hand, you say Tumah Dechuy B'tzibor, it is a dispensation, but the Torah does so begrudgingly. The Torah is not excited about the fact that we have to rely on it, meaning under if we've exhausted all other options, we are going to rely on it, but the Torah does so begrudgingly. Now, in terms of practical differences between them, so we're going to see one in just a moment at the end of today's daf, and tomorrow's daf, we're going to go through a number of other differences in terms of whether Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibor or Tumah is Hutra B'tzibor. So what the Gemara now is arguing is as follows. Let's say somebody does come in and visits him, which clearly is allowed, meaning that's not prohibited, and then the person were to die in him. So what the Gemara is trying to argue right now is that's not a big deal whatsoever. Why? Because this is what the Gemara is trying to argue, is that Tumah is Hutra B'tzibor. Even if somebody did die, so what? Meaning we're talking about Tumas Meis, and when it comes to Tumas Meis, and we're talking about a carbon seabor, so there is a total allowance for the Kohen Gadol to do the Avoda, even though he's in the state of Tumas Meis. Ravina Amar Filatema Tumah HaMeis Dechuya Hibet Seabor. So the Gemara, and Ravina says, look, I don't know if we have to draw that kind of conclusion. Meaning we could argue that Tumas Dechuya B'tzibor and that the Torah does give a dispensation but begrudgingly. And over here, Tumas Ames Lo Shchicha, Tumas Beis Lo Shchicha. And the Gemara basically says what I foreshadowed just moments earlier, and that is the big difference between him having relations with his wife, who's possibly a Nida, and again, he didn't do so b'mezid, he only learned about it, he discovered about it after the fact, but she is going to be a Nida every month, so there is a likelihood that that can happen, as opposed to somebody dropping dead on him, so that's extraordinarily unlikely. So the Gemara says, so really, as far as allowing visitation from other people other than his wife, and social visits, and the concern that somebody's going to die in him, so what the Gemara is arguing right now is that it will not serve as any kind of referendum. At least Ravina's arguing it will not serve as any kind of referendum as whether or not Tumah is Hutra B'tzibor or Tumah Dechuya B'tzibor. We could still argue that Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibor. With that stated, Itmar, we're going to start this, although this really goes well into tomorrow's daf. But Itmar, Tumas Ames. So when it comes to Tumas Ames, Rav Nachman Amar, Hutra Hibet Sibor, so Rav Nachman's of the position that it's Hutra, it's 100% allowed. And Rav Sheshes Amar, Rav Sheshes of the opinion that Dechuya Hibet Sibor, that it is not 100% allowed, it is an allowance, but the Torah does so begrudgingly. And now the Gemara points out. So here's going to be our first nafkamina. So, hechadika tamei mevatarim behahu base of. So let's say now we have a base of. As we just described a couple of days ago, there are 24 mishmars of the Kohanim, and then within each mishmar, so it's divided into six Batei Avos, and that means that each one of the six Batei Avos is going to be operating one day of that week in which the mishmar is in the Beis HaMikdash. One Beis Av for Sunday, one for Monday, etc., etc., from Sunday through Friday. And let's say within your Beis Av, so Kulei Amo Lo Pligi D'Taron Avdi Tamei Lo Avdin. So if I have a choice of either to go to a Kohen who's Tamei or to a Kohen who's Tahor, so even if I hold the Tumas Hutcher B'Tzibur, but still, it's better to get somebody who's Tahor. So Ki Pligi La'Adur La'Suei Tahorim Beis Av Achrina. So the question is as follows. Let's say everyone in today's Beis Av happens to be Tamei, so should we go and get from another Beis Av? Rav Nachman Amar Hutahu B'Tzibur V'lo Mahadrina. So Rav Nachman would say, no, that this is 100% allowed. Tuma is Hotra B'Tzibur, and therefore there simply would be no need to go ahead and to have to get somebody another coin from another Beis Av. And Rav Sheshes Amar Dechuyi B'Tzibur U'Mahadrinan, and Rav Sheshes will tell you no, that that because the Torah does give an allowance, but it's begrudging, and if there is a way to avoid it, so we should avoid it. So yeah, so if there is Kohanim and the other Batei Avos who are Tahor, so go get them and don't rely on the Kohanim or Tameim in this Beis Av. Ikadami. Now, in a slightly different format of the way we just presented this Nafkamina, Afilo Hechad Ikatahor and Tameim Bahu Beis Av, Palag Rav Nachman, Va'amar Avdei Nami Tameyan, the Chol Tomas Meis B'Tzibur Rachman Asharye. So, the Gemara says now in this second version, that even if we had a scenario in which you had a Beis Av where some Kohanim are Tameim, some Kohanim are Tahor, so you can even use the Kohanim that are Tameim according to Rav Nachman. Meaning Rav Nachman's argument of Tumah Hutcher B'Tzibur is that it's Heter Gamor, meaning that the Torah simply gives a 100% allowance and dispensation, and you don't have to think twice about it. And even though within this Beis Av, we can turn to Kohanim or Tahorim, but nevertheless, because we're talking about Tumas Mason, because Tumas Mason is Hutcher B'Tzibur, you could use a Kohanim who are Tameim. Okay, certainly it is a more radical position of Rav Nachman, but at the same time, it's more radical, but it's also more mistaber. Meaning, once you say it's hutra legamri, like Rav Nachman's arguing, so then enachanami. If I have Kohanim or Tamei, but it's Tumas Mason, it's hutra, so then I should be able to use them. Okay, so that is the Gemara's first nafkamina between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. We come back to the to tomorrow's daf. We're going to continue in this question of Tumas hutra b'tzibur, Tumas dechuy b'tzibur. Let's quickly review. The first question the Gemara asked in today's daf on Vav Amud Aleph at the two dots is, why don't we allow his wife to join him when he sequesters for those 7 days? And the Gemara, after refining the answer, basically says, because what may end up happening is that after they have relations, before, just if I can interject, the Rashi Tosfos, we spent a good amount of time over here going over where exactly they're going to be sequestered to, husband and wife. But put that aside for just a moment. So they're going to be sequestered for the 7 days. Why didn't his wife join him? So the Gemara basically says that the concern is that after having relations with her, he's going to discover that she was a Nida and that he was a Bol Nida. And we don't have to limit ourselves to the Peshitta of Rabbi Akiva. It can even be going according to the Chachamim. So that's the basic answer. The Gemara used that as an opportunity to discuss this idea of Bol Nida. Bol Nida is tummy for 7 days. When is the Bol Nida going to tov on the mikvah? And to make the Gemara's discussion really succinct and to the point, so the answer is it's not like a Nida. A Nida can only tov on the mikvah the night after the seventh day, but a Bol Nida can tov on the mikvah on the seventh day itself. And it really fits into the Gemara's concern over here. And that takes us to the Amud Beis. On the Amud Beis, so after having concluded that Bol Nida can tov on the seventh day, so the Gemara now wants to know, so good, so his wife is not going to join him for those 7 days, but how about just general visitation? Should we forbid general visitation with the concern that maybe that person who is going to visit him is going to drop dead? So the Gemara's answer is twofold. One answer of the Gemara, and this is the answer of that was said b'shem Rava, is that we see from here that even if somebody does drop dead on him, it won't bother us. Why? Because Tumas Hutra B'Tzibur. And so even if he becomes a Tamei Meis, but we're talking about a Karban that is set on the calendar, and we're talking about Tumas Meis, so therefore there's a Heter Gamor, and it just simply wouldn't bother us whatsoever. Meaning the Torah gives a 100% allowance dispensation for the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah in Yom Kippur, even in the state of Tumas Meis. To which Ravina counter-argues, and Ravina says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that we're not worried that somebody's going to come visit and drop dead on him. That's really a chashach shrachok. It's unbelievably remote that something like that's going to happen. And the Torah does not make us concern ourselves with such an eventuality. And then it brings the Gemara now to the launching point of the debate between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes as to whether or not Tumas Hutra B'Tzibur or Tumas Dechuy B'Tzibur. Rav Nachman says Tumas Hutra B'Tzibur. Rav Sheshes says Tumas Dechuy B'Tzibur. Our first Nafkamina, which ended off our daf today, is what happens in the event that you have a base av where everybody's tamei. So do we have to get kohanim from another base av? So according to Rav Nachman, you do not, and according to Rav Sheshes, you do. The Gemara gave another version of how to stay over this nafkamina, but for our purposes right now, that's the first way to present it. That'll be good just in terms of a review.